37, by the way. Psalms 37. We're going to try to continue on in the series of finding your calling and your gift. I've told him this before about his Scott's. He can sing a lot of things. He's got such a range of stuff that he can sing. I know people that maybe they're in this genre, they're way up here, they're in this. But what's good about him is most of those people would be good if you invited them to come and do some kind of big event here and big event there or do whatever. But the one thing about Scott is he'll be doing this every Wednesday, every Sunday, and every Sunday night, and has been for, 15, 20 years, more than that. And he does it for some good pay. So. It's just amazing. I've been to churches all over the South, all over the place to preach, and there's nobody. Man, I'm telling you right now, I have been in so many church services where I went, if they'll just stop singing, we could just go ahead and preach again. Because it was just so hard but he sets the table so amazingly well. What a gift that's been for me to always come up here at a table that's already been set. And that's just a great, great gift. We'll continue on tonight. What the main thing for our church is going forward is that you find your gift and your talent and ability in this season. In this season. And then if the season changes, you'll change. If the season changes and you're like, okay, this gift is what God wanted me to do, and all of a sudden you get a little bit older, a little bit more wiser, or something's added or taken away, then you know what you're going to do? You're going to say, all right, I'm going to adapt, and I'm going to plug in right here, okay? I was just sitting here thinking as we were singing and worshiping, where I started out in preaching, where I started out in ministry, and how much different the ministry is for me today, right? The gift has always made room. The gift has always opened doors and opportunities. But I just think of when I came in, I used to relish. I heard older preachers get up and preach, and I when I was first started, you wouldn't believe this, I used to preach with a fire and an excitement. I used to. But man, I've calmed down quite a bit. But when I used to hear older preachers, and they would say half as much with half as much power, whatever you call that, enthusiasm, whatever. But it was more power. I'm sitting there going, oh my gosh, what a word. I wish I could say it in that tone and that quick and be done, but that's just not what God's done for. He's working on me, all right? So anyway, tonight we're going to try to figure that out. And I seen some more things in here. I wish this series had been put together by a better orchestrator of the series. But I'm hoping, I really am, I'm hoping that you guys can piecemeal this together. It's kind of like a Lego. Have you ever done Legos? Here's about as far as I get with the Legos. I buy the box. Okay, and then we pour the box out, and we got the instructions there. I don't know where they go. I don't. But I make my own thing, you know. That's cool. Now, there's a box with a picture of what it's supposed to be. That never gets done. So, anyway. You're getting a box of Legos, and you're getting a picture. I hope you can put it together. All right. So Psalms 37, and this is some stuff that's going to help you pass this, or some bonus stuff in Psalms 37. And there'll be a couple bonus things in Matthew chapter 2. That's where we're going to get the commentary from Joseph's ministry on what I'll be sharing with you tonight. But go to Psalms 37, verse 4, verse 5, and verse 6. I first seen this verse, Psalms 37. I don't even know if I was saved yet. I might have been saved very early. There was a football player. He's done now, passed away, played at the University of Tennessee. He had this written on his forearm. And I was like, what in the world is that verse? And I went home and read it, and it reminded me of this. But it's amazing where you'll see stuff and it'll get you. Psalms 37. Delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thine heart. Do you like that verse? I love that verse, right? But when I first read it, I might have been either early in faith or not even in faith yet. But I read the verse and I got it. And I was like, delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thine heart. And I'm like, the desires of my heart, oh, I know exactly what I want. A certain kind of vehicle and a certain kind of wheels and a certain kind of house and a certain kind of, right? You know what God gives? You know what it changes there? Is when you get saved and you delight yourself in the Lord, you know what changes also? Your heart and your desire. And so when your heart and your desires change, all of a sudden it's not about the things that you have, it's about the people you can reach. You see everything that comes in your life as a vehicle to reach and help other people. You see things as opportunities. My problem is I see everything as a message. I see everything as a sermon. I hate that when I'm riding around with people because they'll say things like, you're probably going to use that in the message. And I'm like, yeah, but I probably won't use it with you around at first. And then I started pastoring churches and it stinks. But know this, God will give you the desires of your heart. It's very important. But when he changes your heart and your mind, your desire is to please him. And we'll see that when we see Joseph later on. He got into the ministry not knowing anything, not having any experience. And you know what? You don't have to have it either. You don't have to have a knowing. You don't have to have experience. What you have to do is you got to be willing to say, God, I will cross over in faith to what you've called me to. Because life, God, I feel this. God, life can't be just about getting saved and going back to my old lifestyle. Can't be. There's got to be more to this than me just having this emotional, this great, great one day feeling, walking out of death into life and then for the rest of my life living like death. There's got to be something greater. And you know what it is? You know what's greater? Is seeing one person after another person after another person come out of death into life. You know what's even greater than that? Is somebody you've seen come out of death into life grow in their faith. Can I give you one more greater than that? Get somebody who's going to come alongside of you and challenge you. Woo! Start smoking their tires beside you. Start bumping up against you. I'm preaching right now. Somebody who comes up beside you and says, get out of the way, old man. Get out of the way. I'm ready. That's how I was when I first started coming up. I waited for preachers. They would mess up. You got a word? I'd run past them. I'm on the pulpit standing on it already. I meant next Wednesday. All right, whatever, brother, sit down. You know? I'm telling you right now, that's exciting. When you get to feed into other people's lives, when somebody comes and tells you, hey, you sowed into my life, I have peace, I have joy, I have happiness, I have things that I never experienced before in faith. There's more to it. I wasn't going to preach every verse like this, but here we are. Verse 5, commit thy way unto the Lord, trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. What? That's a very vague thing. He shall bring it to pass. What's that? Every purpose God has designed you for. To bring forth Jesus Christ and his honor and his glory. Amen? You play a vital role. You play a role. Do you remember this morning when I read out of Romans chapter 1, it said that Jesus Christ was born of the lineage of David. Do you know that Jesus being born of the lineage of David to Paul or Saul was, it took Joseph to do what he was supposed to do to bring that to pass. Think about that. He's never spoken of by Paul. He's never recognized. He's never saying, hey, Joseph did his part, but without his part, Saul would never be Paul. Without him doing his part, we would never be converted from out of faith to in faith. Because one man done some stuff that nobody usually ever thinks about or hears about, that's the same for you. I was going to tell that this morning. There are no small callings when it comes to presenting Jesus. There's none. Every person who serves God in obedience, in correct faith, when you're doing it for the right reasons, there is nothing not important. You'll never know how you sharing one plants, one waters, God give it. You will never know when what you said about Jesus will change another person's life. You'll never know. You'll never be. I wished I could go find everybody who played a dynamic role in me coming to faith. It's impossible. Amen? Y'all have heard this story. I don't worry yet with it, but I can't wait to find that little 9 or 7 to 9 year old girl down there at the 4th of July thing who wore me out with 3 questions. I can't wait to meet her. She was the first person that gave me a real good wake up push. What would you do if you died today, sir? I looked at her and I said, "Don't, nobody really knows." She couldn't have been older than 9 and she couldn't have been younger than 7. She looked at me and she goes, "That is absolutely untrue. You can know where you'll be in eternity." And I was like, "Ah!" I walked around. She ruined my 4th of July. I'm serious. Fireworks were dull. Hamburgers, hot dogs, dull. Everybody, still thinking about it today. Can't wait to meet her. That was an amazing thing. Verse 6, "And he shall bring forth thy righteousness." This verse 6 has nothing to do with the lesson tonight. It just helped me this week. "He shall bring forth thy righteousness as the light and thy judgment as the noonday." Verse 7, "Rest in the Lord and wait patiently for him. Fret not thyself because of him who prospereth in his way, because of the man who bringeth wicked devices to pass." Good Lord. If y'all didn't need it this week, I did. God just kept saying, "Hey, whenever you want to relinquish control, and whenever you want to let rest in me, whenever you would," I told y'all this morning, I love it. I love this Sunday night stuff because it's us. It's the family of the church gets smaller by one core when you come in here, but it gets tighter. All week coming here praying, "Oh God, ah." Every single time, started out as "woe is me," just like every one of these Psalms. "Woe is me," into worship. After a while, I'd start out, "Whoa, whoa, whoa," and then God would go, "Remember who you were? Oh, God. Oh, God, you're good." Amen? That's how it works. Can I go ahead and preach to you right there? Can we just plow right there for a minute? God doesn't care what it takes for you to get to Him as long as it gets you to Him. If you will get your heart focused on God, He doesn't care what it takes you to get there. He will put you in the lowest prison, the sickest hospital, or the worst condition and situation. If you'll finally look up and say, "God, you know, I'm sick and tired." If it's true, if we'll just say this, "God, I'm tired of trying to do it my way. I'm done." I think God likes to hear that more than anything else. "I quit. I resign. I stop." Good, I'll take over. 24 hours later, you're sitting there going, "Wow, look at that. That's Almighty God. That's the one who created me, them, us, all of it." Okay, cool. I'm sorry. Does that help anybody? Y'all shouldn't have showed up tonight. There's medicine in this tonight. I don't even know what I preached this morning, but this is good. I'm being honest with you. Sometimes I preach. I promise you, if I'd went back and applied most of my messages in my life, I would do really good. I'm good at preaching most of them, but sometimes I hate it. I hate it. I hate it. Somebody, about 4 people this week, you know what this? "Remember this week you preached? Remember what you said? Remember what?" I'm like, "Ah, run away. Run away. Remember what you said about that? Remember when you said the devil's going to attack? Remember when you said you need to be ready for an attack? Remember when you said," I'm like, "Get away from me. I rebuke you." God's so good. Psalm 37, skip over to verse 23 with me. We're going to get back on track. We're going to get back on track. "The steps of a good man." Are y'all seeing that? Psalm 37, verse 23. "The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delighteth in his way." Your steps, if you are trusting and following God, being obedient, you take your step, the next step, God orders those. When you think everything is random, everything's out of place, you're saying, "Why is this happening?" God is saying, "Take the next step, take the next step, take the next step, because I have ordered them." Every good thing, every bad thing, Romans 8:28, everything I will use to the good of those that are called according to my purpose. Amen. Y'all like that? I'm being honest with you, man. You would think some ways, I'm going to show this to you in the commentary of Joseph. You would think, oh no, something bad's happening, God. I bet you didn't know this was coming. And God's like, no, I already spoke about that about 1,000 years ago and made a plan for it. And I already knew it was coming. So you went right up here, take a right. Y'all get that in a little bit, okay? The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delighteth in his way. You might want to make a verse right there. You might want to say this is a life verse. You might want to make a note right there. I'm going with Jesus, and every step is ordered by God, and I'll trust him. God, can I help somebody tonight? Can I help you right now? Right where you're at. If you are born again, saved, and believing in God, and you're trying to do his will, right where you are is right where God wants you and needs you. Whew. But wait a minute, God. Don't you have this big, awesome plan? Don't you have one? Didn't people say in my life, you're going to do something great? You know what something great is in your life a lot of times? Is walking faith out in the darkest, hardest times of your life. When nobody has God, anybody can shout glory when everybody's on top of the mountain. Everybody can shout glory when you get the prayer. Well, you can do it. But praise God, when everybody's waiting for you to crumble, fall, and quit, and you lift your hand and say, I will praise him anyway. I love him anyway. I don't understand it, but I'm trusting him anyway. What are you doing? Where are you getting dressed for? Where are you going? I'm going to church. I'm going to worship. I'm going to serve. I'm going to the ministry. But wasn't it a hard week? Didn't you fail? Didn't you almost mess up? Yeah, but I didn't. And if I did, I'm still in Jesus. I wish I'd have read the next verse, Charlie. I got ahead of myself. Got excited. Verse 24, though he fall. Why didn't I just read the next verse? Though he fall, he shall not be utterly cast down, for the Lord upholdeth him with his hand. Wait a minute, the steps are ordered good, and I still fail. God put the fall in the count. Golly, bum. I can leave now and be all right. God put the fall in the equivalent of your steps. Goodness gracious. Man, I'm glad that's there. Amen. I'm not going to be destroyed by the step in the fall. I'm going to get up and I'm going to learn from the fall. Amen. I'm going to learn from verse 25, and I promise we're going to move. Verse 26. After verse 26, we'll move. I have been young and now am old, yet I have not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. Whew. Guys, let me just tell you what that really means. When you run out of everything else, when the storm comes on the just and the unjust, you'll fall all the way down and you'll not have to worry about your soul. You'll not wonder about the bread. The bread is Jesus. You won't have to worry about, when I get to the end of myself, what'll happen? Just like the woman at Sychar, at the well of Sychar. Sychar means at the end. When you get to the end, there you will find Jesus. God, I didn't know what that meant before. I do now. And this happened a year or two ago. I'm telling you, when you think there ain't nothing else left, there'll be a man named Jesus. God, I hope y'all get that. There will be a man named Jesus. There will be a Holy Spirit that rises up in you who sits down at the edge of that bed and says, whether we live or whether we die, whether we rise or whether we fall, I will be here for you. Not your mama, not your daddy, not your friends, not your church, not this, not that. Me, your Savior, your friend that sticks closer than a brother, God Almighty, I am here. Whew. Guys, we're looking at the wrong thing a lot of times. We need to get to the place where we know without a shadow of a doubt. You go through enough experience, you're going to find out there's a Jesus who will meet you. You will run out of everything else, but you won't run out of grace and mercy. Whew, my gosh. Whew. Take your Bibles. Let's go. Matthew 2:11. Let's learn what we're talking about. Let's learn through Joseph's ministry and how we can apply it to our calling and our ministry. Matthew chapter 2, verse 11. That's where we're going to start. I wanted to start with this because I want to tell you that God will provide. And I'm not talking, when I say provision or I say money, I'm not talking about name it and claim it. I'm not talking about some kind of weird prosperity gospel. I'm talking about if you trust God to do His will, you don't have to worry about Him taking care of you to be able to bring forth His gospel. Does that make sense? He's not going to have you dying, destitute, and everything else without if He's called you to do so. Oh, y'all good. Y'all got it. Y'all understand what I'm saying, right? Okay, 2:11 right here says, and when they were coming to the house, verse 11, I want y'all to get that, and you say, well, let me explain that. This is, Jesus is somewhere almost 2 years old right here, okay? This is when the Magi gets there. This is when the three wise men show up. They're in a house. Where did they get a house from? Where are they staying? Oh, good question, right? Ain't, that's pretty sweet, ain't it? They went down there on the back of a donkey, couldn't even get a hotel room, but now they're in the what? They're in a house, okay? So think about that. No matter if it's their house, no matter if they're living in a room on the side, whatever, God's taking care of the shelter, all right? They saw the young child with Mary, his mother, and fell down and worshipped him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented him gifts, gold and frankincense and myrrh. We do no justice to this with your Christmas plays. We make no justice out of this. This is a lot. This is very, very precious stuff. This is very, when they say treasures, these are kings coming to worship the King of Kings. Now, don't get caught up in that. God's just providing for them because they're going to have to go into a foreign land for a period of time and hide out because he's a refugee that's trying to be killed. Jesus is. False kings want to kill the real king, okay? So let me explain this to you. I wanted you to see this. How awesome would it be for Joseph, right? Joseph and Mary, who couldn't get into a hotel room. Now they're in a house of some sorts. Then they're wondering, all right, we're in danger here. But then all of a sudden, three kings show up at their house and begin to worship their child. Come, wait. We're so desensitized right here. And we're so like, oh, that's pretty cool. Dude, what would happen tonight all of a sudden if you had three sheiks from the Arab lands roll up? There was a story about Arnold Palmer, right, playing golf, and this one's king over in the Arab world was playing golf over there, and he made real good friends with the king. And the king was like, yeah, I love playing golf with you. He said, well, I want to get you a club. And he's like, oh, yeah, that'll be great, you know, because, you know, I love all kinds of different kinds of clubs. And when he came home and he was expecting, and all of a sudden a box shows up, but the box is only about that big, and it was all wrapped up and designed from the king. Oh, what is it? And he opened up, and it was a deed to a country club in the United States of America. And he was like, what is this? He said, he deeded you the club. He wanted to buy you a club. That's king level, okay? That's what kings do, all right? So I'm not trying to push around with this prosperity thing too. I'm just telling you, they walked in the room and began to worship their son, which all of a sudden, what I'm trying to tell you, God will allow you to see wonderful and amazing things, not to like put your faith and trust in, but to say, man, God's got this. When I get into a bad place, maybe I should dig into what God did, right? Because there's going to be some hard times when we move off into Egypt. When we go down here, there's going to be some times when we're going to wonder, "What is this the right thing?" Then we got to remember, well, wait a minute, God paid for us to go on the trip down there. Remember? Whew. I'm just trying to help you. I'm not, and it wasn't just a money thing, it was a worship thing. I want to break down that whole, all the three things and what they mean, but there's one for the king, there's one for the death, and there's one for the royalty of who he is. So that's just that. That's not what I came to preach. I want to kind of go somewhere with this, if I can remember where I was. Verse 11 and verse 12. Okay, yeah. They came into the house, fell down and worshiped him, and they had opened their treasures. Verse 12, and being warned of God, this is important, and being warned of God in a dream that they should not returned to Herod, they departed in their own country another way. Verse 13, and when they were departed, behold, the angel of the Lord appeareth to Joseph in a dream, saying, arise and take up the young child and his mother, and fleeth into Egypt, and he be thou until I bring thee word, for Herod will seek the young child to destroy him. Y'all seeing that? Have you noticed, remember Joseph? In the prior segment of this series, we remember how did he get the knowledge that he was going to go ahead and take Mary to be his betrothed wife? The angel showed up. The angel came, right? Are you starting to see a pattern here? Okay, God will establish a pattern in how He speaks to you, and that will resonate with you. And you only, listen, you got to figure out how God speaks to you, nudges you, and pushes you. Okay? Now I'll speak to that more, but I just want to kind of set that as you're starting to see a system of how God speaks to him. Ain't that good? Hey, listen, if you've ever done anything in ministry, God sends you signals. Right? He'll send you out a little mess. Mine used to be crosses. I used to see these amazing white crosses in the sky. I mean, I can explain the whole story to you. Maybe one day I'll take a whole service and just talk about some of the stuff when we first started in ministry. But I've got some doozies on that. I'm talking about, let me tell you how substantial they were. I'm not just saying, oh, I've seen this or I've seen that. I'm talking this. When I seen what I said I seen, we made major moves in ministry, all right? Like, we were in deep prayer and deep seeking what do this or not do this, and all of a sudden that, next thing you know, we're on our way, and it was just like God was saying, go. There was a time in my life when God ceased showing me that. I know I'm probably like, some of y'all are going, oh my gosh, what's happening? Listen, God stopped doing that because you know what He told me? And somebody told me I was wrong for this, but it's not. God said, Kevin, I need you to just trust me. When I tell you some stuff, I don't have to show you every time, do it. I'm like, no, you don't. But I sure would like to see another one. I was being selfish. All right, verse 12, verse 13. And when they were departed, they heard that. Verse 14. When he arose, he took the young child and his mother by night and departed into Egypt. Charlie, y'all remember when I said, okay, he departed in Egypt? That's prophetic, okay? That's Old Testament. I'm not doing that whole series part, but I'm just putting this in there for you. Everything, every step, the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. God already knew this was going to be he's got to go down into Egypt because it said, my son will be called up out of Egypt. Are y'all with me? All right? So God's already ahead. When you think the enemy is doing something and you're like, I can't, oh God. God's like, I'm ahead. I'm good. I'm up here. I've got it going. I've got a plan for you. I'm provided for you. I'm in it. And just trust and go, okay, in how I speak to you. Is that good? It helps me. I want to know that kind of stuff. Verse 15, and was there until the death of Herod that it might be fulfilled. This is for what I was telling you about the prophetic. That it might be fulfilled which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet saying, out of Egypt have I called my son. Do y'all see that? Old Testament prophecy coming true. These are messianic prophetics, okay? Messianic prophetics. They're all through the Bible that point to Jesus. The Messiah must have so many of these. And it's very complicated for one man in history to have 8 of the Masonic prophecies come true. Jesus had them all. God. All of them. 100%. Okay? Watch this, verse 16. Then Herod, when he saw that he was mocked of the wise men, was exceeding wroth and sent forth and slew all the children that were in Bethlehem and all the coast thereof from 2 years old and under, according to the time which he had diligently inquired of the wise men. Verse 17. Then was fulfilled that which was spoken by Jeremiah the prophet, saying, in Ramah was there a voice heard, lamentations and weeping, and great mourning, Rachel weepeth for her children, and would not be comforted because they are not. That's another prophetic, okay? You're starting to see all these come together, how Jesus is ahead of of everything that happens. God is ahead of it. But when Herod was dead, behold, the angel of the Lord appeareth in a dream to Joseph. Do y'all see it in Egypt? Third time now, the dream's coming. So guess what? It's not, who is it now? Normal life for him and Mary. Have you noticed the angel? I'm kind of ad-libbing right here. Did you notice the angel shows up for Mary to announce the birth of Jesus, but that angel hasn't came back to Mary, or Mary hasn't got anything direct from Jesus. Now, she has Jesus, but you understand? But she's not getting any direct correlation. Who is the correlation? Who is the communication coming through? Man, are y'all good? Is this fun or what? Joseph, here he is fulfilling his husband role and spiritual leader of the household, even though Mary's carried the greatest thing in the world, which is the Messiah, which is Jesus. Woo, glory. Here he is. Man, ain't that sweet? Here he is. It would seem like in the scriptures he's lesser, but in the eyes of God, it's equal. Golly, pump. If you ever, ever, ever truly understand God, that we are working with God. God is greater. He is the head, right? He is the one with the authority. Men, we are the greater. We are the one with authority. But once we come together, you figure this out. Man, the most of you men, you might want, I'm going to give you a heads up, you might want to just do this when I say this. As you get into ministry, you realize it's more equal, amen? And she becomes a strength in your weakness. Amen? She protects you vitally where you can be what you're doing. Oh, never mind. You're silly. I'm not. I'm telling you right now, praise God, there's times when she'll say things to me in a spiritual way that I almost go, well, who's the pastor here? Right? I know in office and authority and who I am, and that's right. But she says something, well, be glad it's happening right now. That way, you know, it's a small number now, but if we had like 300 or 400, then that'd really be something. So I guess we got to learn some lessons right down here. And I'm sitting over here going, golly. All right, leader one. Y'all getting it now? It's stuff like that. It's amazing. God's good. He works that way. Ugh. All right. Where are we at? What verse? 14, 15. He arose and took the... Okay, and then he was... Herod mocked. Verse 17. Then when it was filled, that which was spoken of Jeremiah. No, 18. 19. 20. All right. Y'all are good. Thank you. A lady, HD, don't hurt nobody. Saying, arise. Verse 20. Saying, arise and take thy young child and his mother and go into the land of Israel, for they are dead which sought thee and the young child's life. Verse 21. He arose and took the young child and his mother and came into the land of Israel. Verse 22. But when he heard that Archelaus did reign in Judea, the room of his father Herod, he was afraid to go thither. Notwithstanding, being warned of God in a dream, he turned aside into the parts of Galilee. Dream again. Turned again. He's the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. He's up. They're about to walk back in right where they were at. We got this plate. And all of a sudden he says, God's got another dream, honey. Golly, I can hear myself right here. Hey, God. Hey, Melissa, guess what? Got something. We got to go here. Got to go here. And you're like, oh. But what's good and what's beautiful is she's got into the place and I've got into the place. When I say, I want to do something, she'll say, but did God give it to you the way he always gives it to you? Or is that a you? Amen? Because there's been a few times in the last 15 years that I'll say, we are gonna. She'll say, that don't sound right. It don't sound like God. Because when God does it, it's in harmony with me and it's good. Oh, sorry. I'm just letting y'all look behind the little curtain right here, if y'all don't mind on a Sunday night. Amen. So they turn into, watch this right here, once again. They go into Galilee, watch this right here, verse 23. And he came and dwelt in the city called Nazareth, that it might be fulfilled. What fulfilled? Prophetic scripture from the Old Testament, right? Out of the book of Judges, which was spoken by the prophet that he shall be called a Nazarene. Every trouble... Every attack, everything, guess what happens? Oh, what are we going to do? God, I'm ahead of this. Go here. Because I said he's going to be a Nazarene. Oh, go here because I said he's going to come out of Egypt. Go here because I said he's going to be in Bethlehem. Go, you know, you understand what I'm saying? God's good, right? So here's the learning lessons about our callings, and I'll try to make these as quick as possible because we've been dining on this tonight, and it's really good, is this. God will provide. All things are in His order. Man, I have a hard time with this, and if you are an A-type personality, you probably will too. Sometimes I want to drive the boat. I want to run the show. I want to be let, but God, watch this. Let's, you know? And it's rarely that God will use my method or my way or the thing that I'm thinking right. Never mind, sorry. He will teach you real quick that, you know what? I've got a way about this. Just hold on. Pray about it. Get in my will and do it my way. Amen? It's all in order. How does He speak? If you don't take anything else out of this class tonight, this is what you have to learn. This is what you have to start applying in your life. Right? How do I hear God? How do I hear Him? And how do I do what He tells me to do? Amen? You have to get, and I'm going to give you a fail-safe on this. I'm going to give you something that's fail-safe. Every single thing that Joseph did that God told him to do turned out in a prosperous way. Let me break that down the right way. Everything he did brought Jesus. God, this is so good. I'm not a smart man, but when God gives me a smart word, everything he did took Jesus to exactly where Jesus needed to be at that moment. Whoo, glory. Amen. Everything Joseph did, listening to God, got Jesus right where Jesus was supposed to be at that specific time. Amen. So I wrote this down right here. If you'll learn how to listen to how God speaks to you, there will be results, results, results. You understand what I'm saying? There will be evidence. Jesus and you will be right where you're supposed to be. Amen? It won't always be easy because none of Joseph's stuff is easy. It won't always be something that you understand or control. I love every time I've got to start on this. I hadn't really brought it out much, but every time I got to start on this, Joseph was never a father. Mary was never a mother. They neither one had any experience in doing any of the stuff they did. It was just they lent themselves to God and said, I will. I don't know how I will, but I will. So there's a recipe to ministry and operating your gift and calling. You don't have to know how, and you don't have to have a whole lot of experience. You just got to say, I will be obedient and willing to do what you'd have me to do. I am a vessel in your hand. Does that make sense? Have you learned anything tonight? Guys, learn how to listen to God. I've got a couple of them. Now as I'm gotten older, not the big signs in the sky, not the big arrow going this way. A lot of it is when I'm reading and I'm praying and God nudges me and says, go. Go. You know, it's clear as a bell to me. I'm supposed to go see this person. I'm supposed to go talk to that person. Stop and see this person. Today's mine. You know, it's radically weird. It's not even a big deal. There's a guy at a certain restaurant that we've been seeing over and over and over. God just said, give him a compliment. Don't give him the gospel yet. Don't lay it all out there. Just give him a really, really good compliment. Talk to him about what you see about him. And I did. You know what happened? Three times before I left that restaurant, he come by and shook my hand every time. Hey, man, good to see you. Hey, thank you for that. Hey, you know what's going to happen next? I'm going to come in there, and I'm going to be obedient to God, and we're just going to work on it. Amen? We're just going to work on it. Let's all stand.